Well, hello, Chris Lorton here, and welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. With me today, I have my neighbor in, Matt Kramer. Welcome, Matt.
Hello, Chris.
I didn't really know we were neighbors, but
yeah.
The other day I was cleaning out the fence row between us, and I got to look over there, and I was like, wow. That's a nice horizon. I hadn't been able to see that. It was like us having this big fence between us.
Right, right.
Yes, and Matt, you're a full-time farmer?
Yes.
Yep. And how many acres do you farm?
Roughly about 1,600. You know, we've had more over the years, sold some, you know, lost some to the bank decades ago. It's been an up-and-down thing.
Yeah. You grew up here in Jerseyville?
Yes. Yep. Ever since I was born in 85. I'll be 40 later this year, so that's something.
You're a youngster. You're still if you haven't hit 40 yet. You're a young one. Now you're a family man.
I am. I've got my beautiful wife Heather.
Heather.
We've been married for 7 years this year, and then we've been together for 18 or so.
Yeah, so took a while.
Yep, I have no idea what she sees in me, but she sees something, so I'm okay with that. And we have a 14-year-old son, Matthew. He'll be 15 in August, so I'm getting close to having a driver.
Yes, he probably drives all over the place.
He's got the taste for it. So
now is Matt into farming as well?
He's very interested. Yes, it's been interesting because you know when I grew up in it, I was steeped in it. You know, I've been around farming ever since I was a little kid and grew up riding in tractors and sitting on fenders. And with my son, I've letting him do some of that, but he's letting him get into sports. And, you know, he plays guitar, and he's becoming a heck of an athlete.
Yeah. Now, did you play athletics?
Nope, I didn't play a lick of sports in school.
You want to?
Nope. I was, when I got to high school, I was an FFA kid. I was officer for 3 years, and that was my life.
Yeah, you know, when I was in high school, I was a town kid, but there was a lot of farm kids, mm-hmm. you know, and there's a lot the farm kids. A lot of them didn't play sports, you know, and I was into football, and I was recruiting, you know, I'm like, hey, dude, you need to come and play football. Right. We need you, you know. And I was able to recruit a couple of them to come over. But a lot of times they just couldn't because, you know, they had to go home and work.
Right.
You know? Yep. And, I mean, they were the hand on the farm.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, a friend of mine once told me about farming. It is the hardest drug that will ever bite you. Once it gets a hold, it doesn't let go. Especially when it starts young, you just can't get it out of your blood.
I've noticed that with farmers, mm-hmm. you know, like I've interviewed people I've known for mm-hmm. a long time, and they're not in farming, but they tried to be into farming, you know.
I see.
And they, you know, my dad, perfect example. You mm-hmm. know, he wanted to farm, but he couldn't make it. But this was back in probably the 50s.
Yeah.
You know. What is the trick to surviving in farming? Because you survived.
Yeah,
you've been surviving.
We're hanging in. There's been quite a few rough years off and on, and you know, even before I was farming, you know, our family had a colorful history of hanging on. But I think the big thing is not to be too rigid. You know, you got to be able to bend and learn. You know, if you're trying something and you keep doing it and it doesn't work, you have to try something different. And you have to accept that you don't have to do what your neighbor's doing. But if you're not doing something very well and they're doing well, might pay to have a look.
You know, the thing that's different with farming as opposed to other businesses, you know, like, for example, you know, when I was in the restaurant bar business, very competitive, you know, you needed to be, you know, I mean, you needed customers and actually there was competition, not only in the town, but in other towns, you know, so there was always a lot of competition for customers, but in farming, not so much, you know, you basically are all in it together, you know?
Essentially. You know, there's always, every community has some aggressive ones that they're, they go out and speak to landlords and say, hey, hey, if you ever change your mind, would you like to rent your farm to me instead? And that's all, that's all well and good. It, it keeps some of us in check. But overall, yes, we have a pretty good community here and we're all, not necessarily brotherhood, but we're, you know, you can rely on everybody, in that way.
Yeah. Do you find yourselves getting together with farmers? Like if you're sitting in a, like at a diner or something, get right into farm talk?
Oh yeah. Sometimes, one thing you can always count on us farmers, we're going to complain about something.
Well, I've heard that.
you know, like lately it's been the weather. And that's any, it's weather, marketing, tariffs, whatever you want to complain about, there's something.
Yes.
And you can't let it take you over or you'll never get nothing done.
Yeah. You just got to roll with the punches and look to make moves regardless of what they are.
Yep.
What's the best year you can remember in farming where it was just no complaining? It was perfect. Ooh. Was there one?
I can't say there was no complaining, but you know, there was, let's see, somewhere, you know, just shooting from the hip, I'm going to say 2017, 2018, somewhere in there, there was one or two good years. And not necessarily, contingent on price of the grain that year. It was just yields were good, price was okay, things did well.
Uh-huh. Now, do you do any animals?
No, we do not. We when I was a kid, we had some livestock, but we got out of that. I miss some of it, but then I think about some of it, and I don't miss it at all.
Yeah. Well, that's a 24-hour, 24/7 job, too. I mean,
it is.
They always want to eat every day, you know?
I had friends that were dairy farmers, and I've still got some that are dairy farmers that aren't in this state, and it's almost like a prison sentence without parole. But so you got to make of it what you can, and they love it, and they'll never give it up.
That's almost sounds to me like the restaurant business, because you don't own a restaurant, it owns you.
Right.
And that's probably with livestock. You don't own it, they own you.
Right.
So
definitely.
But hey, before we get more into farming, I just want to touch a little bit more about your son, Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
Now I hear he's a wrestler.
Yes. He's
now did he get that? How did he get these wrestling?
Not from me.
Not from you.
I mean, I'm not a athletic bone in my body, and he, got interested in it. He started playing baseball at a young age and kind of got into that. He loves football. Football's his other favorite. But he took to wrestling and he's just kind of a natural at it. This past year, he went to state with the middle school wrestling.
Yeah.
So he was in the top 16 in his 185-pound weight class.
He's in eighth grade, right?
Yep, eighth grade.
And he's a big kid, 185 pounds.
Yep. He's he's got me on height. He's a little over 5'10 now, so.
And he's probably, is he pretty much all muscle?
He's pretty close.
Yeah.
Pretty close. He's and especially with wrestling, watching his weight and watching what he was eating, and he goes to the gym a lot, working out, and won't be long. He'll be able to whip me.
Yeah, so. And I'm sure he's excited about high school football and wrestling.
Oh, definitely. He's
and
he's
all that good stuff.
It. Yep.
Does he train all year long too?
He goes to the gym. He works with Adam Hickson here in town at Jersey Fit.
Uh-huh.
Quite a bit, and he's been constantly involved in a sport of some kind. And, you know, like he went straight out of wrestling right into spring football with the middle school. And he's come right out of that. He's getting into rec league baseball.
Now, did you, you let him do this? I mean, you could have said, hey, sorry, you got to work. I need your help. I mean, which that happens a lot.
Yes, it does. And, you know, I was thinking about it. And he was always interested in the farm. And I'd bring him along with me to do certain things. And I just kind of thought that, you know, a lot of the stuff I know he can pick up on later in life if he wants to. And I want him to, if he wants to wrestle and play guitar, he's a really good guitar player. If he wants to do that, then pick it up and run with it. You know,
live,
be a kid. That was a big thing in my family is if you got the chance to be a kid.
Yes. I think that's a good philosophy for sure. Hey, if you're just joining us, I have my neighbor in, Matt Kramer, farms next door. And now you graduated from high school and then you didn't go right into farming.
No. I went to a technical school out in Wyoming called Wyotech.
Out in Wyoming? Mm-hmm. Out in the mountains or anything?
Or? Just didn't Laramie there in the foothills.
Did you like that?
I did. They're a pretty nationally renowned diesel school back then, and I had some friends, older friends that had been there, and I felt it was a good fit for me with the farm, and I did farm, you know, after school and on the side, you know, for years, but my draw to Wyoming at the time, in the fall of 2004, the state of Wyoming had a population of 450,000.
Yes.
In the entire state.
Yeah, not
that
many.
That same year, St. Charles County, Missouri hit 1 million in the county.
Yeah.
And I liked it. It was pretty spread out there.
Oh, yeah. I like Wyoming.
You could drive for hours and not see anybody.
Yeah. Now, at mechanic school, diesel mechanic school, do they have dormitories? You stay in apartments?
I rented an apartment when I was out there. There were dorms, shared dorms. I opted to just have an apartment. I didn't keep to myself entirely. I had a lot of friends out there, but it was just easier.
Was that a two-year course? Or
no, it was their big selling point was the basic diesel program, and one of the others was 9 months. And then after that, they had a 95% job placement record. Now, that wasn't necessarily in our area, so it was a little harder for me, but I came back and I did find a job at a tractor dealership here in town for a short time, and then I went to St. Louis and worked on trucks at the Mack truck dealership for also a short time.
All diesel.
Yep.
All diesel work.
Yep. And, I had the opportunity to come work at John Deere here in town. When Nobis bought out C&W Equipment.
I see.
And I started there in 2006 when they took over and worked there till May of 2014.
Now, all this time, were you thinking, okay, one day I'm going to be back into farming?
Yes.
Knew that?
Yeah. I knew somehow, some way, and whether it was going to be a part-time capacity or full-time, I didn't know yet or how, but I was helping my uncle quite a bit after work and early into the night or early into the morning, however you want to look at it.
Yeah. So, and this is a family farm.
Yes.
That you have now.
Yes.
Right. For a couple generations.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
Yep. Now farming, there's some risk factors in farming, of course. What are some of the things that, I mean, besides the weather,
you're right.
I mean, yeah. You got the weather, but can you usually deal with the weather? I mean,
yeah, it's everybody's own way. Sometimes just, you know, it's out of my control. I'm going to grumble about it every day, but there's only so much of that I can do. But there's a little bit of everything that kind of tugs at you when you're a farmer. You've got, the cost of everything, you know, inputs are just always on the rise.
Yeah.
Crop prices, you know, commodity prices, they are always up and down. Uh-huh. We have no control over it. And you can say, you know, people that have been farming for 40 years can tell you that they don't really have a good way of telling you what to do. Other than I got some good advice from my cousin who's a grain merchandiser, and she said, you know what your profit point is. Know where you break even and know what profit you have to have.
Yeah.
And lock in for that. Anything else is gambling,
mm-hmm.
And I'm not a very good gambler.
So if it gets to so as a farmer and you get your crops in and you put them like in grain bins, mm-hmm. waiting for the right time to sell,
mm-hmm.
right? So she's saying when it gets to that point where you can make a profit, just sell and be done with it?
Yep, and there's planning that goes into that too, because you might not want to sell right out of the field in the fall, even if you do get that price, because you may have a tax consequence you're trying to avoid. You know, because some of us, we harvest in the fall, we sell in the following spring, and so the taxes are offset. So there's many ways to do it, and it's just, you know, the way we do it. We store most of our grain, and then you shoot for that profit point. And sometimes you make it, sometimes you miss it.
Do you store grain in your own bins or
yes.
others?
Yeah, we're very fortunate. Over the years, we've got a lot of old grain bins, but they're all pretty well functional. And so I'm blessed to have that at my disposal.
Now, when the new highway comes through, is it going to come through on your property?
Yes, it's going to, this shed and grain bins here to the east of us, it's all going to be gone.
Okay. Is that upsetting for you?
Not really. It's, you know, it stinks because I've grown up there. It's been there forever. But at the same time, all the stuff's getting old. It's kind of like I'm looking at it as a new beginning.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know when that's going to be just yet. I had some inklings from IDOT when that might be, but that can change daily.
And will that highway split your farm?
There'll be a little bit of land on either side of it, but yeah, we'll have to relocate the where the grain bins and the shed are.
And how about, you know, will you still be able to get back and forth, get your equipment without a big hassle?
Yeah, it shouldn't be too terrible. There'll be an access road to the south, and we'll make it work.
Now you also do some hay.
A friend of mine, actually, my best friend for many, many years, Pat Allen. We've been baling together since 2007. So what, 18 years now, I guess. And, you know, we've just baled, old pasture and waterways at our own farms. We've done custom baling for people. We don't do as much as we used to, but we've square bales, round bales. I still do some custom round baling, and he'll still do some custom square baling, but there just hadn't been the demand for it that there used to be.
Really? How come? What happened?
I think we're kind of in that spot where, you know, a lot of people are starting to have livestock again.
Yeah.
Yet your small farmers or even just people that have a little bit of land, they're getting some pigs, they're getting some chickens, they're getting some
cows. Coming back?
It's starting to come back a little bit. And, you know, with the dawn of a great processor here in town, you know, with Fritz's, to name drop a little bit there, they do a fantastic job, and so it kind of completes that step of, okay, I've raised some hogs, what do I do with them? And you know, eventually I'd like to get back to having some, but I just have to rebuild the facilities to do so.
You know, I've been out back here cleaning up all these trees have just like taken over.
Yes.
You know, there was like 1,000 trees back there, right? And the one thing I noticed, this ground is so good. Yes. I mean, it's like potting soil.
Almost, yeah.
Is all the ground around here like that?
Not all of it, no. We've got some that's pretty pretty cantankerous. You know, this right here next to us is it's pretty rich. It lays very wet, especially on this year. So it's hard to get on it in a timely fashion. We've got some down the road that's don't dare go out on it when it's wet. It just screws it up the rest of the year.
Just not enough runoff, is there? No. Is that it?
That's part of it. Sometimes the soil composition has a lot to do with how it reacts. And if you go in when you work it when it's wet, it gets hard and it doesn't. It's not conducive to raising a good crop for the rest of the year.
It just wants to. You got to wait.
Yes.
You got to wait.
Yeah. Patience.
Okay. I want to get your opinion on what's going on, tariffs, et cetera. With the administration, how do you feel? What's your view?
Overall, I do have faith in that process. What I've learned in just my short time of doing all this, it doesn't matter what administration in place, or what taxes or what trade policies they have. It always seems in whatever 4-year presidential term, there's a couple wins and there's a couple losses for us. We'll have some good commodity years and we'll have some really bad commodity years. You know, I'm a really big fan of the president we have now. But I remember the last time he was here, there was a couple years there. I had some bad years because the prices were bad. But that, at the same time, I can't change any of that. I can't affect it. That's one of the problems of being a farmer and having to rely so much on that Board of Trade for the commodity prices. We just don't know what's going to happen. And so that's why that locking in for profit is very critical. Now, I'm not saying I'm good at it.
Yeah.
I know what I need to do. It doesn't mean I'm always that good at it. We've got a joke at our farm about, and it applies to all of it, from marketing to working the land or whatever. Our joke is, there's no book on this. You know, we don't know. There's no manual that you can refer to for certain things. There's a big cache of memories of things that you've succeeded at and things that you've failed at. And hopefully you can pull from something out of there to make it work for you. But the big fatal flaw on a lot of farms is you'll do something once and you'll get away with it.
Yeah.
You keep trying it over and over again.
Like what? What are you talking about?
Oh, you know, you'll go out once when it's wet, a little too wet, and you work it, and it was kind of okay, and then you hurry up and you plant it. Well, it worked great.
Yeah.
It worked great. You got another little rain right after. Everything came up fine. And then maybe for the next 6 years, you try it in a row, and it doesn't work. But you still keep trying it because it worked that one time. That kind of a thing.
Hard-headed.
Yes, we are.
Well, now you said we were going to mention Cody Marshall.
Yes.
What about Cody?
Cody's one of my other best friends for a long time now. He started working for us about 7 years ago, full-time, and he helps me do some mechanic work on the side. We run some tractors through the shop and some trucks and things, and he was pretty known in the area as he worked at O'Reilly's for a little while, but he worked at McKay Auto Parts for a long time, and he is an excellent parts man. And you know, sometimes you think like, well, that's probably not that hard. It is.
It's hard.
It's very difficult to be a good parts man, especially dealing with the public.
What's key to being a good parts man? What do you think?
Being willing to look for things and then remembering how you found things, and just knowing what resources you need to search for stuff. You know, it's like any job. You have to have a certain amount of give a darn. Mm-hmm. You have to have concern for what your customer is looking for.
And you want to be good at it.
And you want to be good at it. And so he started his own parts business.
Yeah.
So he's working full-time for me, but he's got a parts business on the side. And it's growing. He's got some companies that he sells parts through. He can order from, and he can order oil from a couple places. And he's doing really good with it. And some local farmers here have ordered tractor parts from him. And he's kind of specializing in some stuff that aftermarket that, say, like your regular dealership doesn't want to carry or can't get. And he's kind of catering to those of us with older equipment.
I got you.
And you know, he grew up kind of on a farm as well down toward Grafton, and he's a great guy. I don't know what I'd do without him.
It's nice to have somebody like that, isn't it?
And I hope someday his business can take off, and he's got so much to do he can't help me anymore, but I don't know what I'll do then. But yeah, he's a great guy, and Marshall's Parts is his parts business.
Well, Matt, it's been really enjoyable having you in today, but we've ran out of time, and it's probably time for you to go. What do you do on a day like today?
I've got plenty of things to do. I got a truck in the shop I need to finish, and gotta work on the seed tender and the corn planter.
So thanks so much for coming in here. Appreciate it. Matt Kramer.
Thank you for having me.
My neighbor next door.
Yeah.